This week on Three Sides of the Coin. Yeah, that black box, that's Mark Cecchini sitting in a hot tub in Southern California. We've got no guests this week. We talk about artists that have similar style of merchandise, like Kiss and Aerosmith, and why that's the case. It's a train wreck show. I don't know why you'd want to watch this one.
Visit threesidesofthecoin.com. Subscribe on YouTube. Follow and rate us on Spotify. Subscribe and leave a review on iTunes. We appreciate it.
Three Sides of the Coin. Talking all things Kiss.
I want to rock and roll all night.
You're listening to Three Sides.
Are you looking for official Three Sides of the Coin merchandise? T-shirts, hoodies, and more? Visit shop3sidesofthecoin.com. We ship worldwide.
Hey, Three Sides of the Coin. I got a stack of Vegas chips here. I'll bet that we don't make it through this whole episode before something craps out internet-wise. Mark is in sunny Southern California, right?
I'm about 8 hours south of you, right?
Yeah, except probably much warmer and nicer. His internet connection there is probably not very good.
Upper 60s.
There's going to be some delays in the conversation here, so we will just try the best we can.
Well, you can hear you fine.
Yeah, except you are very delayed.
Well, let me stop video. See that.
Let's try that. How do we? Turn off your video and let's see if that helps with your
better
audio.
It stopped.
Okay, let's try that.
There we
talk
go.
To us.
That's off now with the video.
Okay, I think that's going to be better.
Is that any better?
Yeah, much better, much better.
Okay,
so you can still see us.
All right, good.
And great. I mean, at this point, it's just me and I'm the beautiful one. Tommy's supposed to be here. He said he was in traffic and he'll be a little late. I don't know what that means. So we're just going to go without him.
Who's this Tommy you keep talking about? I have no
the guy
clue.
That we're going to fire. Really? Really? We're going to fire this guy pretty goddamn soon. I honestly don't know what he does to contribute to this show.
Nothing.
That's the whole point. Like when you have a band member who doesn't write or practice or rehearse, eventually you fire them.
Yeah. What are you going to do? You know, he's out there combing the high schools and junior highs. I mean, what the hell?
Oh,
you know?
God. So we have no guest. Once again, which is probably a good thing, because if it was like Rob Halford, he'd be like, fix your goddamn router, guys. So we're just going to wing it. Mark, you had kind of an interesting discussion.
Did our friend get a hold of you, or are we on for next week?
I gave him my email and I said, let's schedule it for next week. And I've heard nothing. So.
Okay.
We honestly have about three or four musicians who want to come on, and it's just been like, well, I can't do it yet. We're waiting for the album to drop. My publicist doesn't want it done yet. So, you know, until they get around to it, then you get us just talking.
Although I did see that we had some love for that. I mean, again, I think there's a certain and a good number of people who just like when we sit around and, you know, talk about Kiss.
I like doing that too. I like that as well. There's not a lot going on, of course, with Kiss right now, but you brought up something interesting about. And this will get us a comment about Aerosmith and Kiss.
Yeah, we're so, at what, like the 3 minute mark, and we're gonna get a
we're gonna get the comment of the Aerosmith mention at the 3 minute mark this week.
Yeah, I brought something up to Michael because I'm a big fan of both, and as I've said on this show many times. I could just as easily, you know, be comfortable doing an Aerosmith podcast, or you know, I love them as much as I love Kiss. The big difference is, especially in the, you know, the collecting aspect, there's, you know, Kiss is, you know, a whole lot more to collect. And, but I will tell you, if you guys are fans of Aerosmith, and even if you're not, I mean, that's what we're talking about. One of the topics this week is go to their official website. You'll see some similar items.
Yes. Like a banner.
Like a banner for the exact same $750. And it looks like it's made, I would say, by the same company who made the one, the original one from the New York City pop-up store.
Yep. Yep.
They also have bundles of their 1974 second album with t-shirts and stuff like that. But one of the things that I was talking to Mike about is I see some of their shirts and stuff are, they're comparable price-wise to Kiss, but a couple of them are cheaper. And I'm thinking to myself, is there something to that? I mean,
well,
same company?
Yeah, so Kiss used to be on Epic Rights, which was Live Nation, which was Signatures Network, which is where I first started working with them. But a few years ago, Epic Rights got bought by a huge merch company called Bravado. And Bravado is actually owned by Universal. So are you following? Universal Music owns a merchandise company named Bravado. Bravado, and they've been around for many years, bought Epic Rights. So when they bought Epic Rights, they bought, oh, here comes Tommy. Yeah. The guy we're going to fire. When Bravado bought Epic Rights, they got all of the contracts for all of the artists that had merchandise deals with Epic Rights, one being Kiss. So if you go to Bravado's website and look through their clients now, Aerosmith and Kiss are with the same merchandise company. So that means the same company is responsible for tour merchandise, licensing stuff for products and retailers, e-commerce sales, websites, all of that. The same companies behind them, which, you know, and I can tell you when I was working for the merch company, yes, you would see a lot of the same. The merch company might cut a deal with, and we'll just use this banner manufacturer. I mean, there's probably a third-party company out there that manufactures these banners. Bravado went out and said, hey, we'd like to have you make banners for our artists. And here's our roster. And they say yes, and they cut the deal. And then Bravado goes back and pitches to all their artists, we'd love to do a banner for you. And some of them will say yes, and some of them will say no. But at the end of the day, what you end up with are pretty much the same kind of quality banners with just a different design on them. And they'll put together the same sort of e-commerce packages. Oh, we're going to bundle a vinyl release with a t-shirt, and we'll create, you know, so for the merch company, it makes a lot of sense. They can leverage the same merchandise across hundreds of artists and just change the artwork on it. So that's what you've been seeing, Mark, is Aerosmith's got a lot of similar stuff to Kiss.
Yeah, they also have some different things. I noticed they're a matter of fact, because I tried getting her on the show, she said she'd come on, but she didn't. But Cheryl Rixon was selling jewelry for Paul Stanley, at least at one time. And I noticed that the Aerosmith website has a jewelry, unlike this one, But it's, you know, it's based on the Toys in the Attic. You know, if anybody's familiar with that album cover, there's, you know, little rocking horses. It was the toys that were in the attic, and you can buy, you know, each individual charm. And I just thought it was kind of odd that, you know, they never did marketing like that. I seem to think that they're following Kiss's lead for a reason, you know. But then again, I doubt that has anything to do with Steven and Joe, much like I don't think a lot of this day-to-day stuff has anything to do with Gene or Paul. This is the company trying to use the licenses that they have to create more content to make as much money as possible. And I support that, because at the end of the day, whether you want to spend a $1,500 banner or a $750 banner, that's up to you, you know, because if those things were flying off the shelves, they're just going to keep selling them.
Well, the first thing I'd want to comment on, I wouldn't necessarily go far as to say Aerosmith is following Kiss. I think what you've just got here is a merchandise company that's got hundreds of artists that goes out to every artist and says, we've got this new product available. Would you like to do it? And, you know, in a lot of cases, they say yes. Kiss says yes. Aerosmith says yes. And then it comes down to, how do they want to design it differently? And to some extent, how do they want to price it differently? You know, the merch company is going to come back and, you know, they're going to have, here's the cost. It's the same cost, basically, whether it's the Aerosmith banner or a Kiss banner, the same cost, unless they're doing something uniquely different. Like, oh, we're going to put, you know, diamond studs on one banner and the other one doesn't. So it reduces the cost a little bit. But you know, I would bet if you went through like Bravado's roster and spent the time, you'd probably find a number of their other artists that also have the exact same banner. So I wouldn't say it's following Kiss's lead. It's following the merchandise company's recommendation. And honestly, what the merch company does is they pitch it. You know, a lot of times it might be an individual one-off product pitch, or if it's before a tour is starting or before an album release, the merch company, and which reminds me, I've still got one of these merchandise Kiss packets that I found from Sony Signatures that we could go through, puts together a whole presentation of a variety of merch items that they would suggest to the artist that we could do. We can do frisbees, we can do banners, we can do t-shirts, we can do this perfume, we can do these tennis shoes. Here's this whole product line. And then the artist is going to sit down and go, yes, 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 no, yes, no, 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 yes, 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 no, but could they do this differently? And that's kind of how it works, is an artist is just going to sit back and go, no, I don't like that product idea. It might be a hugely successful product for somebody else, but you know, and that pitch, I don't know in the case of Aerosmith, in the case of Kiss, that pitch was usually made to Gene, Paul, Doc, and Tommy would have been in the room, especially before Tommy was in the band. Tommy would have been in the room as well. It would have been a couple of the big executives from the merch company, a couple of the artists, the designers from the merch company. And it would just be, you know, like renting out a hotel ballroom for an afternoon. And it's a long meeting with the band to talk about tour merchandise and new themed merchandise and all this other stuff. Does Aerosmith have Steven and Joe sit in that meeting? I don't know. It's probably at least managers. It could be personal assistants that speak on behalf of the artist or know enough about what the artist is going to like or not like that they can thumbs up or thumbs down something. But it's, you know, as much as we want to give Kiss the credit for taking the lead on all this stuff, I wouldn't say they are. They are just one of many artists that have been pitched the same merch ideas, and they just happened to do it. They might have done it slightly differently. They might have had, because like the Aerosmith banner that you could get from them now, like you said, is $750. It's not $1,500 like the one that Kiss was just selling.
No, why is here's it a couple things. Here's a couple things. I would certainly give what you just said more credence over what I said. However, that was based on an observation, because I noticed that Aerosmith, and I don't remember, I know it was years ago, but not terribly long ago. I wonder when they did switch to that. I would guess it was after Kiss was already doing it, because as a fan of both bands, all of a sudden I started getting emails from the Aerosmith camp.
Right.
And that's when I noticed that, and keep in mind I already was buying stuff from the Kiss site. I noticed that, oh my God, they're having the collections just like Kiss did. And the images, much like Kiss, how Kiss uses whatever, a dozen separate images. So is Aerosmith. They're using the first album cover and the Get Your Wings and the Draw the Line, and then they put little things around the themed images, to make a different sort of shirt or a different kind of thing. So, I noticed those things were similar. The one thing I did notice, and again, this doesn't hold any water per se, there was no $1,500 banner. And why we're talking about that, they're claiming on the Kiss site that
sold out,
which I'm going to take that with a grain of salt. I run with a lot of the hardcore collectors and the guys who will spend that kind of money on something. And I don't, and again, this doesn't mean anything, but I don't know anyone who bought one. They all had the same kind of reaction I did. Well, it's nice, but it ain't worth $1,500. I could go buy a concert poster from 74 for that. You know what I mean?
Right. Yep.
And that's where most of the kind of people that are in this sort of game would put their $1,500. Matter of fact, there's another auction website right now that's got costume pieces for sale for just a little bit more than that. You know what I mean? Wouldn't you rather buy a costume piece than, collectors would. So that's kind of where I'm getting with that. And again, this isn't to naysay it. It's just, I just find it funny that it was, taken off the market pretty darn quick. I'm not saying they didn't sell it. I certainly can't make claim that I know everybody who would be interested in buying them, but I know enough people, and those people know enough people, and to the conversations I have, we don't know anybody who bought one.
Well, what we don't know is how many did they initially produce, and who is producing it. So, meaning, first of all, is it a company that just has a factory that mass produces these, or were they sort of handmade, one at a time, which will limit the amount that could reasonably be produced? They may have only made 100 of those banners.
I think it's going to be, I think it was going to be a made on demand person.
Yeah, it might have been made on demand. It might have been made on demand with a maximum order of 100 of them or something like that. There's a lot of different ways these types of merchandise deals can get done. The difference between somebody who can mass produce it and, put together 5,000 pieces, no problem, because they've got a factory or they've got somebody in China that is manufacturing the products for them. Or is it, and we've seen this with Kiss and a lot of artists, somebody makes some really cool handmade items. The band loves them. The band works out a deal, but that person is doing it all by themselves, and they can only make, 100 of these over the next 3 months. It takes a lot of work, and we don't know when it comes down to that banner, but like you, I will take everything with a grain of salt when it says sold out. because it might be sold out. It might be sold out now, but in 2 months when they found somebody who can mass produce them for maybe a slightly less quality, they might be back in the store. They might be back in the store for less money because they figured out the fans really like these, but they couldn't afford them. So let's go find somebody who can mass produce them cheaper.
Michael, we talked about this on the show before. We have a mutual friend, and I don't want to talk about it here, but that's how I found out years ago. I mean, this is during the Psycho Circus tour, where I believe it was you. I could have swore he said it was you. We were talking about the ticket windows and those things. And yeah. you I think you told them whatever they sold, whatever it was, like 100 of them, if that. And at the time, you know, those were in those. Is that what you have? Is that what you have with you? You said you have the brochure for the some of the Sony Signature stuff.
Yeah, it's probably a product in there, or it's definitely a product that was in the merchandise catalog that you would get for free at shows and stuff like that.
Yeah, because my friend said, "Hey, I talked to Brandvold," and he said, "Hey, you know, these things." You just assume because, you know, all these brochures are going out to all these shows and every KISS event and all the hype that was behind them in 98. And to hear that those ticket wheels only sold whatever, you know, a paltry sum, you're surprised, because I thought, oh, my God, I got to get one of those before they're right. All sold out.
And perception is reality.
Yes, that's exactly my point.
Yeah, I mean a lot of that stuff. I mean if you remember back to, I think it was the convention tour, remember they sold those autographed lithograph poster artwork?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you know, it was a beautiful poster, and it had a big white mat around it, and the mat was autographed. Well, here's the thing. All they did was like get the band to autograph, like, and I remember this, like 500 or 1,000 of the mats. The white mat was all that was autographed. So when these were sold, they just produced it by getting the poster, dropping the mat on it, framing it, and selling it to you. A number of years after Psycho Circus had long gone, nobody was buying these things anymore. But we still had the autographed mats. And I'm like, let's just throw something else in the autographed mat. You've got... What's valuable are the four autographs on this mat. We could put any poster, any print, any photo we want in this, and we've got a whole brand new product. So, you know, the ticket wheel was sort of the same thing. All of those, what appeared to be very limited edition, very expensive, matted frame displays, there were not thousands and thousands of those things made. There just weren't. I mean, it was sort of like, all right, we'll make 50 of them. And when those sell, we'll make 50 more. And at some point somebody goes, all right, the demand is wore off and, you know, we can't get any more tickets from Ticketmaster. Screw it. We're done with this product. But again, it goes back to, don't believe sold out means sold out. It could very well come back in a slightly different format, different price, especially if they feel like there's enough to, and by they, I'm not saying KISS, I'm saying the merch company, because the merch company is the one that's making all these decisions. The merch company is going to go back to the band and go, hey, we sold out of this product, but I think there's enough demand. We could keep doing them. And we found somebody who could make a slightly cheaper version. Are you band, Aerosmith, KISS, whoever, okay with this new version of it, and we sell it for a little bit less? Some are going to say, yeah, we don't care. Others are going to say, no, you know, that's going to piss off the people who bought the original one, whatever. The merchandise world is a crazy world. That merch company, and we're speaking of Bravado, but every merch company kind of does the same thing. They want to leverage the same product across as many artists as possible with slightly different changes. Maybe it's a slightly different fabric. Maybe it's a slightly different design. And especially when they come up, when the merch company comes up with a program, a product program that works, a la, oh, let's reissue vinyl. Let's do color vinyl. The label will handle that. We will create a bundle with a long sleeve shirt, a leather jacket, a turntable mat, guitar picks, whatever it is. You know, we've seen all of that crap that's been done in Kiss. They'll go to all the other artists and go, hey, this program was a huge success for this artist and this artist. We think it would work for you. And here's what we propose. Let's take this album. Let's do this. We've mocked up some t-shirts. We've mocked up some merch items, some pins, some coasters, whatever the crap, the trinkets and trash are. And they just try and roll those programs out across every single artist. And then it's even better for the manufacturer of those products, because now not only are they creating shot glasses for Kiss, they're doing shot glasses for Aerosmith. Def Leppard's on Bravado. They're doing shot glasses for Def Leppard. You know, all the same style of artists get the same kind of product from one manufacturer that drops. And you know, as all of us are in business, from a manufacturing standpoint, the more you can manufacture, the cheaper it gets to produce it. So it's, you know, there is a good reason why you're seeing Aerosmith and Kiss looking the same. Are you talking to your maid?
No, my wife.
He's on Glory Hole Island right now. That's why there's no video.
There's no video.
It's true.
Plausible deniability.
We did it, no, but Tommy, honestly, we did have video before you got here. Mark is sitting in a house. It was just such a poor network connection that I told him to turn off his video for fear that we would just lose Mark from frustration.
I don't doubt that at all. I just like busting his balls because he does it to me all the time.
It's because you do it to him all the time. Who started it first?
Mark started it.
Kind of mutual.
Who's on first?
I think we both insulted each other almost at the same time.
And you both got excited by it, and now you travel and sleep together in hotel rooms.
And now you're dealing with Beavis and Butthead.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, you know, it was fun working at the merch company, because not only does the merch company represent rock artists, they represent country artists and pop artists and you name it. And you'll see a lot of similar products where you go, oh, that Tim McGraw thing, that's the same thing Kiss is doing. Or that's the same thing Ozzy Osbourne's doing, you know, or that's the same thing Third Eye Blind is doing. I mean, the same products get moved all around, and honestly, fans really don't know. I mean, unless you're a fan of, like you, unless you're buying stuff for Aerosmith and Kiss, most Aerosmith fans probably aren't going to even notice. They're not even going to notice that Kiss was doing the same thing, and Kiss fans won't notice that Aerosmith is. And then if you go look at what Def Leppard is, again, it's very rare that fans are ever going to notice, let alone care. Because again, at the end of the day, a cool product is a cool product, and who cares who else is doing that product? If it's cool, you like it.
Well, I did notice that because Aerosmith's tour is on hold, I just noticed a slew of new things, which tells me that I think they're going to ramp up the tour again. Because I think if they're going to let it die, they wouldn't be trying to ramp up interest the way that they are. Because they put out, much like, it's funny, because just being a diehard fan of both acts and somebody who participates, you know, again, I buy their stuff too. Boy, do they push the best ofs and the greatest hits and the, you know, colored vinyl and, you know, splatter vinyl, and just, it's crazy. Speaking of which, the Ace Frehley camp, I just saw that they're putting out some of the earlier records now on like a dozen different.
Yeah, like Frehley's Comet, the debut second and the second sighting. I mean, they're just coming out on colored vinyl. I mean, nothing, no additional. I think it is it a gatefold, maybe? I can't remember.
Well, all I know is if they really wanted to hook people in, and again, I don't know what their arrangements are managerial-wise, but man, throw the fans a bone. Throw one bonus song. I'll tell you what, here's the reason I say that. Do you remember when Judas Priest redid their, thank you, baby, redid their catalog?
Thanks, baby.
Yeah, thanks, baby. You know, he says that is because he doesn't know her name.
Will you stop? So,
he forgot her name from the very first date, and for decades now, he's just been calling her baby.
Yeah, so it's probably Derek.
So, but they included, which was weird, but they included like bonus tracks on each one of the discs. But the thing is, as a fan, that drove me crazy is they put like songs that were left over from Turbo on like Hellbent for Leather. I mean, granted, you were getting two bonus songs and stuff, and I'm like, put the eras, the right eras on the correct albums. Otherwise, to me, it just sounds silly. But I'd rather have the effort, though, where they put in bonus songs. That was what was so fun in the 80s was collecting all the Iron Maiden singles. They always had Japanese B-sides. And even like Buck Cherry, you know, I love the fact that you always know the Japanese record's going to have one more song. So you had to buy the Japanese version to have everything. By the way, Tommy, I didn't get to see them, Buck Cherry, because we were leaving early the next morning. Because as Mike stated at the beginning of the episode, if you joined in late, I'm in San Diego right now. My son's getting married this weekend. So I'm in Southern California. And Buck Cherry was in Detroit Sunday night. And we ended up getting a hotel by the hotel. We ended up getting a hotel room by the airport. So in the morning, because we had a very early flight,
Why were they in Detroit?
Buck Cherry played Sunday night.
Oh, I thought they were playing Sault Ste. Marie.
Sault Ste. Marie, no, that's up north.
They may well, I know, but that's where the last show was with Skid Row.
Oh, that makes sense, because that was like last night, wasn't it?
It was Saturday.
They played Sunday night by themselves without.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that part because Billy was asking, and I'm like, I knew about the other show, and I'm like, dude, you can't even get him to drive to Ann Arbor. How the hell are you going to get him up there? He doesn't leave his house.
Huh? What was that?
What?
Oh, did you ask Billy about me?
No, Billy asked me about you. He was hoping you'd come to the show, but I thought we were talking about the one up north. And I said,
Sault Ste. Marie's 8 hours away.
I know that. And I'm like, you can't even get him to go to Ann Arbor. How are you going to get him up there?
Oh, no, that's the part that bummed me out. They were literally 20 minutes from my house Sunday.
Way to go.
Well, no, because I wasn't at my house Sunday night. I was by the airport.
Literally across the street. Like you couldn't leave the airport and go to the show and then drive back to the airport?
Dude, it would be defeat the whole purpose.
Tommy, it's not Vinnie Vincent. Mark would do that for Vinnie Vincent.
Or Pretty Boy Floyd.
Oh my God.
What's happening that we can't see? Dicks.
he's giving us the middle finger.
I know, and it's a bummer. And now with them done with at least for now with Skid Row, you know, now the wheels came off for those guys because Eric has parted ways with them, so who knows what's going to happen.
Yeah, but Lizzie Hale is filling in
for the last four shows.
That's pretty freaking,
that's big news.
That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, for those who don't know, literally as we're recording this on March 27th, it was announced that Eric was leaving Skid Row, basically because it was just too much for him to do all the traveling for touring. and focus on his health and getting better, which I totally can understand that.
That you got to put that first.
Yeah, you put that first. So, so they parted ways, and for the four remaining shows they got here, Lizzie Hale from Hailstorm is going to be singing lead for Skid Row. That's fucking, that's huge.
That'll be neat.
Yeah.
So anyways, but that's too bad. You'll see Buck Cherry again, though. They'll be out this summer, and they're phenomenal as always. And I do like their solo shows more so because they play longer sets. So you get to hear those songs that they cut out all the time that are the ones that are sometimes some of my favorites. Not that I don't like their set list in general, but there's just certain songs they'll always throw in when they're the headliner, and I miss having those extra songs. So,
Tommy, you're becoming as big a rock star at Buck Cherry shows as Buck Cherry.
How do you figure?
I saw that. That was awesome.
I mean, was it like, did you just recently go to a show in Milwaukee or something?
No, I was in Green Bay for
Green Bay. I saw at least three or four Three Sides listeners posting photos of you taking photos at the show. They were like, Tommy Summers was at the show at Buck Cherry. There he is. It's just like, You're the fucking rock star right along with Buck Cherry. So be careful. If you start taking the spotlight from the band, they're going to get rid of you.
Yeah, well, I can see that. But I don't think that'll happen, so they don't have to worry about that. But I must have run a lot of Three Sides love. I probably ran into at least a dozen of our fans at the Epic Center. So also, too, if you guys are in the Green Bay area or live near there, if you ever want to take a trip to go see a show, the Epic Center is just outstandingly cool. It's worth going to. It's a great venue, huge space, plenty of room. The place was sold out, and you could still at least walk a little bit from one place to another. But yeah, people were into it, and they had a very, very good show there.
Cool.
So you're saying is that the Epic was epic?
Yes, the Epic was epic. It really, I wish we had a venue. I mean, we've got some beautiful venues here in Minneapolis, but there's just something really charming about the Epic Center that we don't really have here. And I don't know what it is. It's just a great place to see a show. You know, it's like the stage is high, but not too high, but high up enough that you could be the guy back by the soundboard and you could see the band really well. It's not like you're right behind someone else's head. Although the one downside is that the audio guy who was running sound for Skid Row, someone threw up all over him.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
That made him a happy crew member.
A lot of drunk people there. Oh, but it's Wisconsin. So, you know, that's what they do. They are power drinkers.
Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch. Yeah.
Yeah, but great show, nice people. It's always great to see, you know, Kevin Jepson was there and just so many nice, wonderful listeners. I got to meet some really cool people. So thank you guys also for taking the time to come up and say hi. Appreciate
it. Did
you
make fun of the Packers when you were there?
No, but Kelly, the bass player, went to the Lambeau Field. I'm like, why would you go into the devil's house? And he's like, I just had to see it. And then at the end, when everyone's supposed to go Pack go on some video at the end of the tour, he yelled skull. So I was like, you know, and I told him, I said, what you should have done is you should have bought a bunch of Vikings stuff. Everyone autograph it and throw it out in the audience. Like Andy Biersek did with his Bengals memorabilia at a Pittsburgh show. And everyone in the Pittsburgh show threw all this stuff back up on stage. It's like, God, you got to love football.
Hey, did you guys get anybody for Kirk Cousins to replace him?
We have Sam, no, what's his name?
Sam Darnold from 49ers. He was the 49ers backup quarterback. He's been signed. But the Vikings are, like, going after – I don't know, what's the guy's name? J.J. McCarthy from Michigan?
There's two or three that are good. And I almost think that that's like the distraction move. I don't think he's number one on their list.
J.J. just won the national title here in Michigan. Well,
yeah, I mean, all I see is that's who they've got their eye on, and they're going to try very hard to trade up to be able to draft him. Now, does that mean he will immediately be their starting quarterback, or is he going to be sort of the long-term franchise quarterback that they're going to work into the system? Who knows? I've given up worrying about this stuff because it's just going to be a disappointment at the end of the season anyway.
Well, so for any of you people that are,
By the way, I got an email from the Detroit Lions this past
week. Please come back. Please come back.
I'm not kidding. I about fell out of my chair. So much so that I called the guy. I'm like, where were you fucking assholes back in 2020 when the world was going to hell? I mean, because I talked about that on the show before. I mean, Of course, we're going to get some people pissing and moaning, but hey, fuck it. It's our show. We never know what we want. So, look, we just gave you a good 45 minutes of Kiss. Give us 5 minutes of NFL. All right. So,
I was just going to say for all of you people that are NFL fans, whoever your team might be, hope that you guys have had a good off season so far with free agency, because I'm thrilled with what the Vikings have done. You know,
it's going to be interesting to see what the Vikings come out with for next year. I'm loving, in this last week, everybody that's making fun, and by everybody I mean like defensive NFL players making fun of the ban on the hip tackle drag down, whatever that it's called. They're like, what the fuck are we supposed to just like tap them on the shoulder and say gotcha? I mean, how do you not tackle somebody by wrapping their arms around their hips?
That doesn't make any sense to me. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense.
It's like the NFL doesn't want them to play football anymore.
No, they don't.
In a few years, it'll turn into flag football on the NFL field.
Pretty much.
It's just like, I'm not a fan. Dude, you're really making rugby look like a man's sport now.
Totally. Absolutely.
Well, I did see they changed the kickoff thing, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know the exact thing what they did, other than whatever the XFL did for kickoffs is now what the NFL is going to do for kickoffs. I don't know what it is.
Well, I can tell you what it is. So the offense that's going to be receiving the ball is set up the exact same way, but they said that more than likely most will have two kickoff return men in the back. If it drops into the end zone, I believe they put it on the 35-yard line. If you kick it and it goes out of bounds before it hits the 20, they put it on the 40. So it has to fall between the 20 and the end zone. And the offense or the defense cannot move towards the ball until either the ball A hits the ground or B is caught by someone who's going to return it, but they're going to be a lot farther forward in the field. So they're going to be at like their 40 at the other team's 40. So they're saying that the offense or the coming offense will be at like the 20 or something. I don't know. The whole thing sounded really convoluted.
It sounds really weird. Yeah. I mean, I saw a post where actually the general manager of the Vikings just drafted or just got a new kicker for the Vikings. And he is a kicker from the XFL, and they got him specifically because he's familiar with these new kicking rules, where a lot of the NFL kickers are like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Right, and you can still do an onside kick, but you can only do it till in the fourth quarter. You have to announce that you're doing it, and that will still be the same. That won't change anything. So the idea, apparently, with these rule changes is they went – from one extreme to the other. So when they changed the rules a couple of years ago, last year, 80% of the kicks were not returned. So there's just no action on the play. It's like, well, you're here to entertain us. So that's what they're trying to work their way back through it. But it's like, you're not going to stop head injury. You're not going to stop injury because it's a sport where you have physical contact. If you're worried about injury, then swim.
I used to I coached hockey for many years, and the kids after squirts went into peewees, that was like the they start off as mites, and mites is like 5 and 6, and then the next one is like 7 and 8, and then when you get to like 10 or 11 and 12, you can start checking,
And I remember telling the kids literally at the beginning of the season that if you don't want to get checked, the local city has a great golf program where you can golf all you want, but and you don't have to worry about getting hit it, but hockey, you're going to get hit. And I will tell you, you know, when I was growing up playing, we checked from the day you started. Because how hard is a five-year-old going to hit another five-year-old? I mean, you can only get up so much speed, and you're wearing helmet and gloves and
elbow pads and all that other stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Again, it goes to, like you said, Tommy, you know, you can walk around wrapped in pillows and bubble wrap, and you're never going to cut yourself, but are you living? I mean,
right. I just think there's,
A reason these guys are making the money they are. They're doing it because they're putting their bodies through hell, but knowing right. and willingly. And that's, really, if you want to tie this into KISS, it's no different. Right. I just got done reading Charlie Watts's autobiography, or the one written, you know, that was authorized by his family. He hated touring, hated it so much so, but he also realized that this is my job. This is how come I get to have houses and, you know, and places all over the world. And so in order to do that, this is what my lot in life is. And I volunteered for it. And that's just the way it is, you know?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, you have so many people that are like, you got to eat healthy, you got to eat better, which I don't disagree with at all, but it doesn't mean that Burger King can't exist or any other fast food restaurant. You have to be able to have the choices. And it just seems to me like when they just start taking all this stuff away, the game will get so diluted that we won't recognize it anymore. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I really don't. It's horrible to see any team have someone go down. It's just, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, but that's part of why they're making them on their money they're making. If they're too stupid to save the money and they end up bankrupt like Adrian Peterson, who apparently has no money, then I don't feel bad for you. But when you got 80 million, 100 million, 200 million, so play for 4 years and then walk away before your skull gets crushed, whatever. I don't know, but don't change the rules to the point where we don't recognize it anymore.
I'm with you.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So, Michael, what else did you want to talk about today? And we can make this short today too, because again, I'm in California.
It's already been over an hour. You know, I don't know if there's anything more about the Aerosmith KISS stuff. I mean, I do remember back when I worked for the merch company, Aerosmith was doing a lot of stuff on their own, and they were one of the artists that the CEO of the company desperately wanted to sign. He wanted Aerosmith all the time, but he couldn't get them. So I think eventually Aerosmith ended up on Epic Rights, and then, like I said, Bravado had all of their roster. They bought Epic Rights. They've got a super roster of all bands now, and you can go, I think it's bravado.com, or just Google Bravado merchandise. You can go to their website, you can see every artist on Bravado, the merchandise company's roster. And that'll gives you a good idea.
Maybe we can spend a few minutes on. I didn't check this out because personally, I don't care. And I don't mean to sound condescending. Did any of you guys get emails from people going, hey, KISS scrubbed the avatars from their official site? I don't know if that's true or not, but I did get more than a few from different people that said there's no mention of it on their site. If that's
I don't look at KISS Online at all. I mean, there's nothing I need to ever. Any news is going to be on the internet, so I don't go to KISS Online. But I do know that after the avatars were first announced on Spotify, on KISS's page on Spotify, they changed the band photo to the avatars. And I don't know, a couple weeks ago, it got changed back. No, when it was the anniversary of the debut album, they took the image of the avatars off of Spotify and put the original band photo from 74 up there. And yes, I got some messages and I saw comments where people like, oh, that's it. The avatars are over. They took the photos off. I'm just like, no, no, no. That means nothing. I mean, I can change photos. Like, I have control over the Wasp Spotify page. I go in there and change the logo and the photos on that anytime I want for whatever reason. I want it to be a photo related to a tour. Great. If I wanted a photo related to an album, great. It means nothing. And frankly, I would bet it was the record label that did it and not Kiss. I don't think Kiss gives a crap. I mean, it's the record label. The Kiss is scrubbed and the avatars are dead and gone. I've seen people commenting. It's like, it's just another one of these fans who think they're experts in everything because something was removed from the internet. It means it's over. It means absolutely nothing unless you want to spend the next 6 hours of your life reading into this and evaluating it and you got nothing better to do, go for it.
Did you see that Roger Daltrey made a comment about the Who being avatars?
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me. I didn't see the comment, but it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, it only makes sense for bands of that level. ABBA, The Who, Kiss. I'm sure there's been offers or discussions with Aerosmith and Bon Jovi and anybody who's a mega superstar band. Those offers have been pitched to them. And why wouldn't a band like The Who, who's like, they can't keep touring. They just can't. They're older than Kiss. And
well, that was the concept. Roger said something like, you know, if you want to come and see us play, don't expect this to be like, you know, 1975 where I'm spinning right. The microphone and Pete's jumping up in the air. He said something about wait for the Avatar show and then you can see that.
And you can relive that. I mean, again, I'm just going to say in general, the whole Avatar thing is I don't really care one way or another. It's up to the bands if they want to do it. And if a band has the ability to extend their career indefinitely through that, God bless them. Go for it. Do the best you can. If I like it, I'll partake in it. If I don't like it, I won't, which is the exact same thing when it comes to live concerts. If I don't like a band, I'm not going to see them live in concert.
Right.
I mean, just spend your money or don't spend your money.
I just think that Kiss will end up on the right side of this and that more bands will follow than you would even believe right now. And there will be some that will get away with it and some that will not. But it's going to have that certain kind of fandom or following to pull this off. So it'll be really interesting to see how everything shakes out at the end of the day.
Oh, 100%. I mean, when we first talked about this, this is a whole brand new thing. Nobody's ever done this before. I mean, you could say, yes, ABBA has done it, but it's not like ABBA's been doing it for 50 years and we've learned through their history. They've only been doing it for a few years.
Right.
Everybody's learning. No rules have been made. No history to study. The book is being written as we speak, which makes this kind of interesting and cool because anything's possible.
Right.
Nobody's going to sit back and say, well, no, you can't do that with your avatar. Why can't you? Nobody's tried it before. Maybe it'll work. Maybe it won't work. Doesn't work. We stop that and we do something different with the avatars. I mean.
Well, and there's no downside because they're not the ones paying for it.
Yeah. Again, it's not coming out of this or any band's own pocket. Another company's investing the money, doing all the work. It's all being done behind the scenes. And when it's ready, it comes out and we give it a thumbs up or a thumbs down and you go on with your life.
Right. Right. That's pretty much it.
I agree.
You know?
Well, on that note, You don't have to wait for the avatars for the three tards here. You can just.
No, we're going to work, you know, because just so you know, Mark, your box right now is just a black box for you. I'm going to have fun with this black box of what sort of imagery I'm going to put in for you.
Works for me, man.
We can do a cartoon, the Golden Adonis or the Round Adonis. We can do something.
Or Tommy, you could do what? Tommy, you could do one of your fabulous you could do one of your fabulous Photoshop jobs with Mark.
Yeah, I could do that.
I think you should get Brian to do it because he does such a great job with those pictures.
Oh, those the cartoon Brian, the guy who did our artwork for our logo.
He's so good, yeah. Man. That guy is
dynamite.
Yeah, he really is. I was just thinking more along the lines of a picture of, I don't know, Liz feeding Mark grapes on some plush chaise lounge with his blue
Speedo. In other words, pretty much what we're doing.
Yeah, with his blue Speedo on. I mean, it's be true to fashion. It's not like it would be something that's out of line.
Feeding him meatloaf, not grapes.
No, because he wouldn't do his own meatloaf communion. We have to do the meatloaf communion to honor him. You know,
sure.
Maybe we should do that on Easter.
All right, let's say good night, Gracie.
That says Mark needs to go to an all-you-can-eat crab buffet.
No, I want to get to the fucking hot tub.
We got anybody waiting for you here?
Probably not. I mean, everyone's outside, I think. So
you actually, Mark. Just to be clear, you did tell us you were going to do this from the hot tub.
Yeah.
Well, I did I couldn't because there's no internet out there.
Well, because nobody wants any video out there. No one wants photographic proof.
Nobody wants to see Mark in a hot tub.
Yeah.
I think everyone does, don't they?
Coming up every few minutes for some.
Okay, Mark. Here's what you got to do, Mark. When you go out to the hot tub, have somebody take a picture of you in the hot tub. Send that to me, and I'll put that up here for the whole show. That'll be Mark, a picture of you in the hot tub.
With the Three Sides logo.
Or at least doing the shocker.
That can be arranged.
Yeah.
Just at least do the shocker.
That can be arranged.
From the hot tub.
Yeah, that would be perfect.
All right, yeah, that is easy peasy, my friend.
Oh, I almost forgot, and I'll re-edit this as needed. We need to cut a real quick ID for Jay Gilbert.
Sure.
I mean, this will literally take like 2 seconds. I'm going to say, hi, this is Mike. Then you go, Tommy, and then Mark, you go, and Mark, and then I'll jump in and say, from the KISS podcast, Three Sides of the Coin, you're listening to Jay Gilbert. He wants us to do an ID, and it only needs to be audio. So we don't, who cares about the video? I'll let it this out. And then
I just shot my video on this.
Now, so right. I will say, so hi, this is Mike. You say Tommy, Mark, you go, and Mark. And then I will say the rest of this. Easy peasy.
All right.
1, 2, 3. Hi, this is Mike.
This is Tommy.
And Mark.
From the KISS podcast, Three Sides of the Coin, you're listening to Your Morning Coffee with our friends Jay Gilbert. And Mike. Now, see, as easy as this is, we should just leave this in so people see how fucking stupid we are.
No, let's start it over again.
Okay. All right. Hi, this is Mike.
This is Tommy.
And Mark.
God, we are so fucking stupid.
Time.
You're hesitating too long.
All right. Let's try this again. Hi, this is Mike.
This is Tommy.
And Mark.
From the KISS podcast, Three Sides of the Coin, you're listening to the Your Morning Coffee podcast with our friends, Jay Gilbert and Mike Etchart. Weekly news for the new music business. We're a bunch of idiots.
Yeah, but God. I know that, but you act surprised.
It still amuses me to this day You'd think we would be professional after doing this for 12 years.
No. What's why be professional?
I know nobody's paying us a dime. So until we start making money off of this, you're getting idiots. You're getting bros.
We have no accountability. If you didn't have Mark shut his camera off, he looks like he's being interviewed on one of those Dateline NBC shows. Like, we found him and he'll talk, but we can't see his face.
Oh my God. All right, guys. So homework for this week. Have you noticed any similarities between Kiss merchandise and other band merchandise? And don't say, oh yeah, so-and-so's got black t-shirts too. Duh. Like Mark brought up the example, the Aerosmith banner, same kind of banner as the Kiss banner. Have you noticed similar merchandise items between bands? I don't know. And what do you think of the Minnesota Vikings this year? There you go.
Or any other NFL team. We like talking.
This is a train wreck show. Mm-hmm. Absolute train wreck show.
And we're eventually going to get someone said it's the greatest one ever. So
I know. You're going to be like, laugh my ass off at you guys. It's like, okay, whatever. If this entertains you, God bless you.
I've always said we're no different than any of the people listening. We're all just fans.
We're all just idiots. All right, so that's it for Three Sides of the Coin. I don't know what we got coming next week, whether we have a guest or it's going to be another train wreck like this. We'll find out when we get on Zoom and hit the record button that we figure out what we're doing.
Good going.
I don't know why you guys still watch us. I really don't. Because you do get to listen to Mark chewing on ice.
Maybe it's a compulsion like people that cut themselves.
I don't know. Yeah. Could be.
Can we say goodnight, Gracie?
Good night, Gracie. Three Sides of the Coin. We're done. We're out of here. See you next
week. Do you have something to say? Leave a voicemail or send us a text message. Call 320-515. Voices for Three Sides of the Coin. Provided by LarryDavisVoice.com and by JessicaMarsVoice.com. That's Mars with a Z.